If you got your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 2? The book of Psalms, chapter 2. And I want to just read my text here on one of the verses. Then we'll be going to James, chapter 1. And then also over to Philippians, chapter 4. Psalms, chapter 25. Psalms 1 and James 4. We'll get through all that as the Lord leads. If not, then I'll finish it on out in another session. But I want to minister. Overflow, God's gift of abundance. Now, the thing that people are afraid of is abundance because they worry about what people may say. Now, let me say this also. I have the honor of receiving tonight's offering, and I'll do it at the close of this message, if it's okay with you, because I felt, well, it's got to be because what the Lord said to do. So, and I know you agree with that. How many people believe in obeying God? Never go, oh, when you have an opportunity to sow a seed. Because what is an oak tree but an acorn that held its ground? Every time I see an oak tree, I say, that boy was just an acorn. Glory to God. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Psalms chapter 2, title of the message tonight, is Overflow, God's Gift of Abundance. Verse 8, I want to deal with this one verse here. And I'm reading out of the King James. It says, ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen. The New King James Version says, ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Now, let me read that again. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possessions. Now, the reason why God can do that is the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So God is waiting to give somebody the nations as an inheritance and the ends of the earth as a possession. How many of y'all want to receive that? So that's the wealth of the... How about this year? Come on. I mean, listen, I love waiting and I don't mind waiting, but I think it's time to receive what God is saying. Because I believe if we'll understand this overflow principle, we then go to the world and preach the gospel to every creature, as I said in the early sessions. And then guess what? The Bible said the end shall come when the gospel is preached to the world for a witness. They say they have to receive it. They say they have to witness it. The end shall come. So we are witnesses. And when people see you, you are a walking witness. So you should be speaking overflow. And it's not just financially, even though that's good, but it's spiritually, physically, financially, every facet of your life. Now, some people say, is that the will of God for me? Well, if you want to know the will of God, and I've said it so many times before, you have to understand, just go see what God does. And when you read Genesis chapter 1, you'll find out that the will of God was man to be blessed. He didn't have to work by the sweat of his brow. God gave him a beautiful wife. Glory to God. Hallelujah. A beautiful place. And he could eat all the trees except one. He just liked to have one tree. You know, out the whole stinking forest. Adam, Eve, can I have one tree? I would call that his tithe. I would call that his possession. But yet they wanted that tree. But you know, he lost the presence of God because he was pushed out of the garden. But he did not lose the voice of God. I've seen some people sometimes lose the presence of God in their life and they think it's over, but they hadn't lost the voice of God because the voice of God is still speaking to them. So I want to deal in this manner here of overflow, God's gift of abundance. He says, ask of me, and I want you to think about those three words. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. See, everything you see belongs to the Lord. Write this down if you're taking notes. And he has the right to give it to anyone he chooses. Now, he has the right to give it. Now, it's up to him to do what he wants to do. He's no respecter of person, but he is a respecter of faith. And you know, you don't mind giving somebody that people don't appreciate what you want to do for them, then chances are you don't give that much. Am I correct in that? So people really look for appreciation, whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial. So everything you see, I don't care what it is, where it is, belongs to the Lord, and he has the right to give it to anyone he chooses. Now, he says, ask of me. Now, listen to this. Asking may seem too simple, but that is exactly what God wants us to do. See, a lot of people say, oh, man, I mean, you make it too simple. The gospel is simple. You just need a good theologian to help you misunderstand the Bible. I mean, they'll give you every kind of definition. All you want to know, does it work or does it not? Is abundance for me or is it not? Now, I want to say something, and I believe you'll understand this. It's so simple just to ask the Lord. It's so simple. You know, I mean, I tell people in my own ministry, if you want to know something, just ask me. All you got to do is ask me. Or, you know, if Kathy says, Jesse, what about this? So I'll say, Kathy, if I don't know, I'll just say, hey, Kathy, what about this? Or I'll ask one of my directors, well, what about this? You know, so I can know how to handle it. Because you can't make a good decision until you have all the information so you can make that decision, because the buck stops at my desk. It's just that simple. It starts there and it stops there. So for me to make a quality decision, I have to have all the facts. You know, just the facts, ma'am. You've heard the movie, just the facts. That's all I want. I don't need all the buzz going around. Just what? Give me the facts and I work. So I realize for people to walk in overflow, really the simplest thing you got to do is ask. He said, ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. So I said, well, bless God, since you said that, believe I will. So I said, Lord, how do I get the nation? Well, I got to go to them. So I started believing God years ago for television. When I first started on television, I didn't have enough money to fill up a Toyota who had a 10-gallon tank and the gas was 45 cents a gallon. But I had a word from God that he would bless me in the city, bless me in the field, bless me going in, bless me going out. Now, I didn't go to people and ask them. I just went and asked him. And who's the him? Jesus. And everywhere I looked in the Bible, I see nothing but overflow. I found the only reason God put tithing in the Bible so you could walk in overflow, bring all the tithes under. He don't need your money. You ever realize, oh my God, you got a God who believes gold is concrete. So you think he's concerned about your offering? But you understand me? You're not going to impress him on the best day you got concerning wealth. But what you impress him is when you ask him and you give him something from your heart, then overflow and abundance comes. So, I mean, I realized what the Lord was saying. I said, you mean all I got to do is ask? He said, that's what I've been saying. So why don't you just ask? Then I realized, why am I having a problem asking? You know, because people say, I don't want to get too much. Ladies and gentlemen, how do you know what too much is if you don't know if you've never had it? It's like, I had a friend of mine one time. He was counseling people on marriage and he'd never been married. Now, that's a fool. He ain't never been married. I thought, well, Milo, how you going to counsel on that? Well, I read books and, you know, I'm qualified. You know, you ain't qualified till you married. And you learn real quick to say, yes, dear. You know what I mean? Because if you want peace in the house, glory to God. So when you ask, asking may seem too simple. But that is exactly what God wants us to do. Now, listen to this. When you ask, you're asking in faith. See, you're just stepping out by faith. Faith moves God. Not needs. Needs don't move God. If needs would move God, he'd never get out of India. Never would. He'd never get out of Africa. Man, do you know how much need is there? But faith moves God. You see, not need, faith. He said faith moves God. It's progressive. Fear doesn't do anything but cause you to move back and forward. Now, when you ask of God, let's go to James chapter 1. Now, I just want to read this here in verse 6. He says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. How many of y'all want some overflow? Come on. God's gift of abundance. Come on, lift your hand up. How many of you want it? Because if you don't want it, I mean, you will not get it. Well, the first thing you got to do to receive this gift of abundance is ask in faith. Not shooting dice. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. Or be moved by what you see, but only be moved by what you believe in. Now, let me do a little teaching. I get funny after a while. But let me just do some of this. Let me form this, because I know y'all waiting for me to say something funny. I can tell, you know. I can see you pulling on me. Glory to God. I know that anointing. I know that, you know. Just say something. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But first thing, it's okay to laugh, but you gotta be laughing about, because it ain't fun when everything's being lost. It isn't fun. You know, I've been in hurricanes, and I won't tell you something. I don't care who you are. You become a Christian real quick. You become a Pentecostal in a hurricane very quickly. You never have doctrinal differences whatsoever at all in hurricane. I was on a boat one time, make a long story short, and the chopper couldn't get out there to pick us up. I was working for Shell Oil Company, and there was a hurricane in the Gulf. So we had to ride a 14-hour boat ride. Now, I want to tell you something. I mean, you find out what you ate for 9 days. I mean, you know, because you got 40-foot waves when you're getting close to that. I mean, this thing, and we had a big boat, but thank God. I mean, it was beating our brains out. Then one of the waves came over and knocked out the captain, blowed the windows out in the boat, and now I'm standing in 3 foot of water inside the boat. And you know, I wasn't saved. I was just a kid, but I said, Mama, Jesus, anybody, please talk to me. I'm going to tell you something. And the captain was cut in the face. I mean, blood, but they revived him, and we made it in, thank God. But, I mean, we were limping. 14 hours of that. I won't tell you something. Everybody went to church just for a while. But I guarantee we were all in church. We made the sign of the cross. We'd have built crosses. But just thank you, God. Just thank you that we made it. But, you know, usually what happens is it's kind of like when tragedy hits, people tend to forget after a while when things get over with, and they go back to their old ways. You see what I'm saying? So he says, asking may seem too simple, but that is exactly what God wants us to do. And the reason he says ask in faith, look at James chapter 1 verse 6. He said, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So I made up my mind, if nothing should waver, if all I got to do is ask and ask in faith, well, if I'm asking in faith, I'm not going by what I see, because the evidence of it's not seen. So, I mean, that should not be a part of the fear, because if I can't see it, then I know I'm asking right, because the evidence of my faith is not seen. Now faith is. You have to establish that you don't have to work it up. It is. Now faith is. Three words. Boom. And that's the end of that. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when you understand, when you're not seeing something, then shout your faith is working, because that's your evidence. Which makes no sense to the devil and no sense to anyone that doesn't know anything about God's word. He said, no. You mean, no. Now you got it because you can see it. No, the Lord said the evidence of it's not seen. But the key to getting all this overflow stuff is for you to simply ask it. I told Jody, you know, when my daughter was there, I said, Jody, if you want something, just ask your daddy. Ask your mama. Ask your daddy. And I mean, just let me know. I don't know what you want. You know, I'll do whatever I can. I'm just talking about whatever. And so one time she came up to me. She was in the mall. Must have been about, 14, and she was a little friend. She said, hey, Dad, you got a couple of bucks? So I said, yes. So I reached in my pocket and gave her a couple of bucks. She just looked at it. She said, I said, what's the problem? She said, Dad, it's only $2. I said, that's what you asked for. I said, you asked for a couple of bucks, didn't you? Then she said, you get spiritual when it came to money. Let the Lord lead you, Daddy. I said, I didn't know he would lead me. In other words, I said, John, let me tell you something. If you want something, ask for it and say it plainly. Because you may get exactly what you asked for. I mean, she was shocked that I gave her a couple. Dad, we can't even do nothing with this. That's what you asked for. Some of y'all say, Lord Jesus, pay my bill, Lord. Let me get that light bill. And sure enough, man, you make it to the end of the month, but you ain't got no food. Don't just never pray just enough. But I'm going to tell you, what you ask for, you'll receive. See, now, the reason why a lot of people have a problem asking, look at this. Many people don't ask because they aren't sure that they'll get what they ask for. Write that down if you take your notes. Many people don't ask because they aren't sure that they'll get what they ask for. It's called being careful. And its root is in fear. But look what Jesus said in Philippians chapter 4. Turn over with me to that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing. Philippians 4, verse 6. But in everything, man, that covers it all, right? By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. This is not in a careful way. He says, be careful for nothing. Well, who do you think? You can't ask God. Well, he just said you could. Philippians 4, verse 6. What are you saying? Many people don't ask because they aren't sure that they'll get what they ask for. It's called being careful, and its root is in fear. Now, when you understand Philippians 4, 6, then you'll understand Philippians 4, 7. His promise of peace in Philippians 4, 7 is for those that ask not carefully, but prayerfully. Write that down. You see, I don't ask carefully, but I do ask prayerfully. Because prayer is the language of God. Because sometimes you can ask for something you think you want, but when you get it, you wish that God you hadn't got it after it came in. You know, I never forget, I wanted a television man. I first thought I wanted a radio man and a television. I had no idea the amount of work that is. All I could think of was, glory to God. Hello, this is Jesse Duplantis. I realized it take a lot longer to make a 30-minute show than 30 minutes. Plus a lot of money to do these cameras. I mean, it's amazing. My God, the cost of these things, plus the airtime, production, all the, you don't really know what you, you may ask for something, then when you get it, you go, oh, Jesus. And, you know, and when you're on television for quite a while, and I've been on television since the 80s, you start believing in reruns. You even get secular with it. Well, you know, they do 26 programs, 13 programs, just rerun. And nothing wrong with a rerun, you know, that's not the issue. But after a while, you know, I mean, you just don't want to go to that television studio. I mean, I'll be honest with you, y'all see me, you didn't know it. They were going 5, 4, 3, 2, when I'm going, I'll tell you one thing, bless God, I don't know why. Hello, glory to God. How y'all doing? Anybody need some faith out there? And I'm saying, I do. Or you're doing just a great program, glory to God, and your nose starts itching. And you're going, glory, glory. Oh, Jesus. And you want to just reach up there and just scratch. Or you feel something moving in there and you don't know what it is. And you're going, my God. And they're going, 10, 9, 8, 7. Or somebody takes the teleprompter and runs it real fast. We want to thank you for watching. We're a believer's voice. Plus, God, we thank you for everything in COVID. Now, that's funny, but it ain't funny. Many people don't ask because they aren't sure they're getting what they asked for. Why? It's called being careful, and its root is in fear. I made up my mind to ask him. He said, ask. Okay, I'm going to do that. See, if he's asking you to ask it, he's trusting that you're going to ask him correctly. But you see, if you ask in a careful way instead of a prayerful way, you're actually asking in fear. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, this is overflow, God's gift of abundance. See, and when you get that peace, you got to establish in yourself that you should have this. God's not a liar. But you got to understand something. The Bible says it's better to obey than the what? Than the what? Than the what? Isn't that amazing? See, the body of Christ has sacrificed more than they've obeyed. You know why you know that verse? You may have sacrificed more than you obeyed. I found that out. I began to really research the scripture and research Christianity in terms of history. The church has elevated poverty, which is a curse, and has done it by sacrifice. God said, I want you blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in and blessed going out. But yet they said, but Jesus embraced poverty. No, he didn't embrace poverty. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God's upon me, for he anointed me to preach the gospel, good news to the poor, to get the poverty off of the person. Well, he said, the poor you have, which you always. Why? Because people embrace poverty through sacrifice. There are a lot of missionary kids today, bless God, will have nothing to do with God because you see that the family sacrificed like crazy, and God don't mind you sacrificing. But you see, in your sacrifice, they elevated poverty, which is a curse, to be worshipped. Think about that. Let that meditate there for a minute. Think about that. And people could think, oh, you can't have that. You can't do this. I mean, and all of a sudden people say, why would I want to, children especially, why do I want to serve a God that my mother and father starved on the fields all the time? Why? Because they elevated poverty. See, it was a sacrifice, but it was in disobedience instead of obedience to the word of God. I've read many history on many, many great men of God who was proud not to have nothing when they died. And he left 14 pounds and 2 shillings. And so proud of that. Where is the inheritance for his children's church? Where's the good man makes an inheritance? You see, what happened was they sacrificed, elevated poverty. They thought they were obeying, but they were in disobedience. And the gospel still has not been preached to the world because of that. Isn't that amazing? I can write off right now. Well, John Wesley. George Whitfield, you talk about a preaching machine, George Whitfield. He's the man that came up with the two words, field ministry, because the churches couldn't hold his crowds. So he said, I go to the fields. And they said he was a heretic. You can't hear from God unless it's inside of a building. It's inside of a church. Well, when you got 50,000 people in the field, what building you going to find in that day unless you're in Rome? And that's that big Colosseum thing. You see what I'm saying? So he went to the fields. But yet he was very proud not to have nothing when he died. And you find many, 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 many ministers, great men of God. You see, they learned rather to obey than sacrifice. They learned to sacrifice, but in their sacrifice, it was disobedience, and God's overflow was not operating and functioning in their lives. And many of their seed, many of their people walked away from God. Isn't this good? Think of this for a minute. And elevate anything that elevates poverty or anything that elevates a curse, you got trouble with it. I had a man say, well, what happens if you got a generational curse? How do I stop that in my life? I said, you make a generational choice. If your dad was a drunk, don't mean you got to be a drunk. All you got to do is say no. But it's hard. Well, I didn't say it wasn't easy. That doesn't make any difference. You just make a choice. See, choices are constant in everything you do. You made a choice to come tonight. You made a choice to sit in that chair. You may have stood in line to get in this place. You made a choice to do that. You made a choice to go eat somewhere. You make a choice to get saved. You make a choice to get... It all has to do with choices, your choices. You see what I'm saying? So when God said ask, people get mad. Say, well, let's go. You shouldn't be asking for that. Well, he said to ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. You mean to tell me you won't own satellites? Yeah, because he said ask of me and I will give you the nations. How would you like to go to a nation called Jesse? No, I'm not trying to be a dictator. But I tell you something, if I'm responsible for something, then I'm going to operate and run with it. I tell that to my staff. I tell that to the government. I said, let me tell you something. My ministry ain't no democracy. I learned that by being on a military base. We live in a democracy, but you go on a military base, there ain't no democracy there. It's that general or that colonel that run that thing, you're going to do what he says. Brother Copeland and Brother Jerry and I, we went to the Marshall Islands and we landed in a place called Kwajalein, I believe is what it was. And I'm telling you, that's a military base. And I mean, very secretive things, high radar, things like that. I went out jogging. My Lord, I didn't know, you know. I said, you got any place where I can exercise? He said, just run around the island. I said, well, how long is that? He said, probably 2 miles or something like that. He said, just follow the edges. And he said, you'll come all the way around. You wind up, you got to watch yourself. You wind up running on a runway. Kwajalein, there's no car, hardly any cars. You can only go 15 miles an hour on Kwajalein in the Marshall Islands. You know what I'm talking about? Remember that, Jay? We swept like mules out there when we did, but we went. So I'm jogging. And I tell you what, I'm just following the edge of the island. And I ran. I didn't see that guy with an M16 in this booth. I just went past it. He said, halt, wham, and he drew down on me. I mean, I got a revelation. Stop, fool. I just backed up. I could have said, I'm an American citizen. Your mama. He said, you're in an area you should not be. I said, should I close my eyes? I didn't know what to do. When an M16 looking you down, this guy, and he is serious as he can be. He said, back up. I just backed up. And I backed out. He said, now go the other way. Okay. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm running the island. Told me to follow the edges. He said, there's some edges you shouldn't follow. Keep your eyes open when you're running. I said, I am running. I did. I didn't see you. Well, that night we ate dinner. Remember, we ate with that colonel. He leaned over me. He said, how you doing, Brother Jesse? I said, I'm doing fine. He said, I heard you had an encounter. I said, of the God con or the close encounter? Well, I had an encounter, all right. He said, one of my men told me, he said, you ran into an area. Shouldn't I? I said, I apologize. He said, oh, that's all right. Can I get off this island? You ain't going to put me in prison here, are you? Hey, and I never forget what he said. He said, this is not a democracy here. Even though America is a democracy. No. And that's same with my men. My men said, it's not a democracy. It's a theocracy. And my name is Theo. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to be flat on. I'm telling you something. Because if something goes wrong with it, guess who they're coming to? Me. Well, since I have that responsibility, I'm not trying to be a dictator, I never will be, but I'm going to run it correctly. What's the same way that colonel when he was running at, in Kwajalein? He said, he just kind of laughed about it. He said, you know, we've been to your meetings in Fayetteville. I said, you did? I said, when I preached over there, but it on the base. He said, yeah, several years ago. He said, my wife really loves you. I said, well, thank you, sir. I said, you know, do you think that guy would have shot me? He said, without a shadow of a doubt. He said, you went much further. You'd have seen something you should never see. I said, what y'all got here? He said, if I told you that, I'd have to kill you. I said, I don't want to know nothing about this place. I thought I was in Jersey there for a minute, but anyway, glory to God. No, I like Jersey. Hallelujah. So many people don't ask because they aren't sure they'll get what they ask for. It's called being careful, and its root is in fear. But when you understand Philippians 4:7, that peace of God, his promise of peace in Philippians 4:7 is for those that ask not carefully, but prayerfully. Go before the Lord and said, Lord, now. And when I first thought, I it was a double barrel shotgun going, Lord, Lord, can I have that? Yeah, you little flesh creature here. Can I have that? Yeah, you little flesh creature here. Yeah. But I was a baby, you know, like I didn't look at it. You know, I didn't know it was a candy store and I was excited about it. But I found out everything that the Lord gave me, I had also came with it was responsibility to act right and to do it correctly. You see what I'm saying? And as the Lord began to trust me, as I began to develop, he began to put bigger things in my hands and allow me to do some things that I never thought that I would ever do in my life for him. Isn't that amazing? Now, see, so trust in God or trust the God that trusts you. See, a lot of people don't trust God, but he trusts you. He trusts Adam enough not to make that mistake, yet they made it. But he still loves you. You know, you ask God to forgive you and you go on. So when you understand overflow, see, you got to start believing for something that's going to be spilled over. If it's financial, let me just help you. You can be debt free and broke. Well, set yourself a goal so you can start somewhere. And what I mean by that is, I'll give you an example. You know how me and Kathy got debt free? Now this is years and years ago. We've been debt free so long. Lord Jesus, long time, just a long way back. Make a long story short, you know, I had to have a point of contact. So I bought a coffee table. So when people come over, I say, I want to show y'all a debt-free coffee table. They say, what? I say, you see that coffee table? Yeah. I say, that baby belonged to me. Okay. That's debt-free. Now the cow said, we owe a note to Sears on that. And all the refrigerator and all that kind of stuff. But I started with that coffee table. And it wasn't long, about 3 months later, people come over. I said, I want to show you my debt-free couch and love seat and end table. I don't know why they call it love seat. I never got no love on that seat. They call it love seat. I said, okay. We ain't never sat together. In fact, Kathy's laid on one couch, I laid on the other. Just watch television. You know? Love, see. What's love got to do? Wait a minute. Go ahead. I said, it's a couch, solid. It's, you know, five. Boy, I said, of course, the refrigerator and the freezer and you know, everything else. You know, I got a note that it's got Sears Kenmore washers and dryers. We got a note that Sears on that. Well, about maybe another 2 months later, people come back over to eat. And I said, guess what? Come on. I'm going to show you a debt-free refrigerator. It came to a point that everything in my house was debt-free. I finally bought it all. Creflo Glory got paid cash for it. God said, I said, I'm living in a debt-free. Now, the house, I had a note on it, but the, you know, everything was debt-free. And then the Lord said, go outside. I said, for what? He said, there's other things out there that you need to get debt-free. See, he was trying to get me to believe for overflow, abundance, where I would say, you mean to tell me I can do that? So I walked out and I just looked at the garage. And I said, I had a note on the garage because it's part of the house. But the car, I had a note. And he said, do you think you could have a new car? I said, glory to God. I said, well, how do I get that, Lord? Ask. He said, started with a coffee table. I said, that's right. So I just began to believe God that I would buy my cars cash. And I never forget the day I bought my first new car cash, 1982, powder blue Lincoln Town Car. Lord Jesus, hallelujah. I would just drive by where there was a mirror or window and just look at myself. I just couldn't help. Love that. I love that Lincoln 1980. In fact, I've had some really nicer cars than that today, but I've never had a feeling like I had when I walked in it. It was on the showroom floor. Drove it off the showroom floor. Paid cash for that baby. Lord Jesus. It was the most wonderful. It was a thing, but what happened was we had the faith to believe it. Then I said, my God. Man, I drove it to that place. And I parked it. And inside the house, everything paid for. Outside in the garage, everything paid for. I said, what's not paid for? And I looked at the house. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I walk up to that house and I put my hands on that house. I said, Jesus. He said, Lord, go ahead, boy. I'm ready. That's the way I heard it. I said, Lord, you gave me. I said, you gave me a debt-free coffee table. And I said, my refrigerator, debt-free. My car is debt-free. But this house. He said, can you receive that? I said, yes. He said, how are you to receive it? I said, by trusting you. Now, I went from asking to trusting. I was no longer asking carefully, but prayerfully. Now I got to another level of trust the God that trusts me. Now, Psalms 25, turn with me to it, verse 12. See, and while you turn to Psalms 25, verse 12, listen to this point. If God didn't think you could handle it, he wouldn't have told you to ask for it. See, so he knows what you will do. You don't know what you do, but he knows what you do. The devil don't know neither, but God knows exactly what you will do. But Psalms 25, verse 12 says, what man is he, and 13, that feareth or respects the Lord? Him shall he teach in the ways that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, my God, and his seed shall inherit the earth. See, God's not just thinking of you at one generation. He's got three generations on his mind, you, your children, your children's children. And God said you would inherit the earth. Now, he believes you can get that if you'll operate in his book of Psalms the way God is saying it. So if God didn't think you could have it, he wouldn't have told you to ask. Well, do you know I paid that house off? All of a sudden, my Lord, everything paid off. I thought, my God, this is great. And the Lord, so I was figuring I was going to live there for the rest of my life. And the Lord said, you don't have to. I said, I don't have to. He said, no, what do you want? He said, you trust me, I trust you, you're living clean, you're living holy, overflows the gift of abundance, what do you want? I said, well, Kathy said she'd like to have a bigger house. Everybody probably would like to have a little bit bigger house. He said, well, how big? See, he don't care. Now, the church world does. Secular world does. Lord Jesus, you got more than 900 square foot, oh, what's the matter with you? Our first house, you could sit on a toilet and put your hands in the lavatory at the same time. I ain't lying. Am I telling the truth, Kathy? 920 square feet. I mean, roaches wouldn't live there. This place too crowded. We ain't gonna get out of here. We got to go find a place where we can live. But I paid that place. I thought, well, praise God, you know, I'll just live here the rest of my life. Now, you got to understand, I made a lot of money as a musician, but I thought being poor is what was happening, but I found out that ain't right. So, I was sacrificing in disobedience, thinking that I was obeying. And I was elevating poverty. And the Lord said, what are you doing? Why are you elevating the curse? I redeemed you from the curse. So we found a house, glory to God, paid cash for that baby. Now this house that we're in now, it's paid for, and Kathy's going to build another house. And before we build that house, it's already paid for. And Kathy, I said, Kathy, just do what you want. But I made a mistake. I want everything symmetrical. You understand? She said, symmetrical? Yes, yeah. I want everything symmetrical. I don't want one wing on the house longer than the other one. You know, you've seen people do that, put one wing and the other one a little short, look like one of them, you know, was retarded on the other end of it or something. I don't know. I said, can't they put those things, you know, make things symmetrical? Glory to God, you know? So she drew it up. When I found out the square foot, I said, Lord, she said, well, you want everything symmetrical. For you to do that, you got to have square footage. Then I talked to a contractor. You know what he told me? Best thing you can do is build square footage. Square footage is money, boy. And I thought, yeah, I never thought of it like that. So I said, that's fine. Now, I'm saying all that to say that if God didn't think we could handle this, he wouldn't have given it. And you know, we never got greedy once. We never stopped giving to God. We never done any of that kind. We gave more. We became more of a blessing constantly, all the time. Because then I realized, God, you trust me. He said, yes, I do. I said, and God, I trust you. So when I read this scripture, in Psalm 25:12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. So I chose the debt-free way. His soul shall dwell at ease. That means he give his beloved sleep. And his seed shall inherit the earth. Jody, my daughter, told me, she said, Daddy, I've never had it hard. You made it easy for me. That was a great blessing. I said, well, you know why? I said, I wasn't trying to get you to say that. I was just fulfilling that scripture that a good man make an inheritance for his children's children. I said, it's so wonderful to know that you're okay. Now, they work real hard for what they got. Don't misunderstand me. And I said, but, you know, I said, Jody, I mean, you know, you're the only daughter we got. And Jed, so Jesus tells me and your mama go by the way of the grave. You get it all. She said, Daddy, don't even say that. I said, no, that's called smart. I said, nothing wrong with that. I said, Barlow, honors me. It honors me because it honors God because his word came to pass in my life. See, that's overflow. That's overflow. Yeah, like today, we went out a little shopping just for a few minutes right there at lunchtime, and Kathy went one way, and I wasn't worried about it at all. I went another way. She went one way. She came back with some bag. I came back with a bag. I didn't go, oh, geez, I didn't pray in tongue. Oh, God, don't let her see something she like. No, it didn't make no difference. Why? I trust her. Now, sometimes, you know, she'll get out there. One time, the Lord blessed us with a beautiful Corvette. Can you imagine a white-headed man like me? God, I was driving, and a guy blowed his horn at me and told me, "Say, hey, Q-tip, get over on the side of the road. Call me Q-tip. Q-tip. I couldn't believe it. I was gonna overflow on him with one of these in my mind. I said, you think, don't let this white hair fool you, boy. Call me Q-tip. I said, you old broke sucker, you ain't got three tires in that car. Look at that stupid kid. I said, I can see what you driving. Call me Q-tip. One time in Florida, I was called a snowbird. I said, y'all think I eat at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? No. Q-tip. Put peroxide in his nose or something. I'm doing that. I'm driving that thing, you know. Kathy said, let me drive. Finally, I asked her, I said, won't you come with a meeting with me tonight? Oh, I'm too tired, Jesse. I can't do it. I've got so much I have to do. See, if you don't mind, I'm going to just stay right here and rest on the couch. I said, you sure you don't want to come? No. She said, I'd love to, but, you know, I'm just so tired, and I have so many things to do. Well, I went to the plane, got on the plane, and I flew to Detroit. I was going, Chicago. That was bothering me. I said, Kathy ain't like that. Maybe the devil tried to attack her body. I stopped praying, and I noticed I didn't get no answer on nothing. I was praying, Lord, Jesus, you know, I'm something. The devil, I bind you, whatever you try to touch my wife. And I, but nothing. It was like hitting a wall. So when I landed in Chicago, I said, give me my phone. Let me call Kathy. I called my house. Nothing. First thing the devil says, she's in the hospital. You know how the devil is. I said, she's always got that cell with her. I call that cell. And I heard this. I said, what you doing? She said, a miracle happened to me, Jesse. The Lord. I said, the Lord touched my body. I said, well, she said, I'm in this seven-tier parking lot with this Corvette. Just driving me. I said, all you had to do was tell me you didn't want to go. You didn't have to lie about it. I didn't lie. She said, I was tired, but I thinking about that car, and it was calling to me. Some guy, she had the top down, you know, had a queen wave going real good, you know, just sitting there, stopped at a red light. A guy pulled up by his truck. He said, must be good to be the queen. She said, it is. What? Gone. That's all he saw. Blue smoke. Overflow is going to give you greater freedom, write this down, in your life, not only financially, but also spiritually and physically. We have an overflow of love. It's one of the most amazing things. You know, people ask me all the time my opinion about something. Why? What does the word say? If you ever get around Keith Moore and you ever ask him something, he's such a blessing. I was just with him not long ago. He says, well, what does the word say? Kind of sound like Brother Hagin. What does the word say? And that's really true, because our whole life is established on that foundation of the word of God. What does the word say? Well, the word says this. And then you know, you used to ask no more if the word says that. So overflow is going to give you greater freedom in your life. How many of you want overflow? Come on. It's God's gift of abundance. You see, to you, it's just money. But it's how about joy and peace? Well, you look at, man, I've walked in peace. That doesn't mean I haven't had trouble in my life. You know, it comes in spurts, you know. The devil, I beat him up so bad the other day, he didn't go nowhere. He took a day off. I know, he ain't going nowhere. I mean, I beat that boy bad. I busted him up. I tore him up bad. I said, I called that pastor. I said, you're going to have the best day of your life in this church tomorrow. He ain't going nowhere. He is hurting bad. He's staying home, resting himself. So you got scripture for that? Yeah. Jesus said the devil left him for a season. That's 3 months. Jesus beat him up so bad, he took a whole 3 months off. Left him for a season. I mean, things just flow. You got to understand, sometimes things are going so good. You know why? You done beat the devil up so bad, he's just resting himself. Because he's going to come back at you, because he's not a faith devil. He's a flesh devil. See, he only tempts you in the flesh. See, never tempt you in the spirit, because you're spiritually dead. They can't tempt you. Have you ever been tempted to tithe? Huh? Creflo, you a pastor. Have you had a counseling session where a man went and said, listen, man, you got to pray for me, because the tithing temptation is going to get me. No. Why? Because tithing is a spiritual concept. He don't tempt you in the spirit. He's spiritually dead. He can only tempt you in the flesh. You see, but if your flesh is crucified daily instead of Sunday, then you ain't got no problem with all this sin stuff. And if you just answer him just like he tempts you, you get to get away. I mean, I ain't the ugliest man in the world. I get hit on every once in a while. Can you believe it? I just can't get over that. Some girl, I could be her daddy. Hey, hi. I say, hello. I'm a nice man. Hello. Would you like to have some company for the evening? No. I know what they think. I got some money. They're right. But that's not theirs. That belonged to Kathy. That don't belong to her. You understand what I'm saying? I don't allow that in my life. That's overflow. That's called overflow of holiness. I just be honest. I'm just, you know, because I don't care about ego at all. You know, I just tell people. I've had a man say, would you like to have some company for the evening? I'm a dead man. Oh. How long have you had this problem? Oh, 30 years now. Oh. years. And your wife is happy? Yeah. She happy. Have you had any medical help? No. Enjoy being dead. Wow. Then I tell him, it's not me that liveth, Christ liveth in me. And then here comes that anointing. The life which I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. Well, you see that devil backing up. I just answer him the way he tries to tempt me. You see what I'm saying? That's overflow. I'm not afraid of that. I don't mean that arrogantly or proudly. I'm not afraid of that temptation. Why? Because I don't pray carefully. I pray prayerfully. When I pray prayerfully, the overflow of God's gift of abundance comes. See? So overflow is going to give you a greater freedom in your life, not only financially, but also spiritually and physically. Now, the person who makes the word a priority doesn't have to fear about their request being out of line. See, a lot of people are afraid about that. Well, you know, I don't want to miss God. Go to James chapter 4 real quick. Verse 3, let me go to that real quick. James chapter 4, verse 3. It says, you can turn to it. It says, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Well, if you never want to be worried about becoming a lustful or greedy person, let me read James 4, 3 again. You ask, because he said, ask of me, and you receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Now, you see, some people say, I don't ask because I might ask wrong. Well, how many of you want to make sure that you'll never, ever ask wrong? Hold your hand up. And we deal with overflow, God's gift of abundance. Well, when you see that, that automatically will stop you. But if you go to Psalms chapter 1, let me say this, go to Psalms chapter 1. The person who makes the word a priority doesn't have to fear about their request being out of line. So if you want to make sure your request is not out of line, go to Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. If you operate in that Psalms 1 through 3, you'll never ask amiss. It says, blessed or empowered to prosper is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Let me explain that for a minute. You know, I don't receive ungodly wisdom. I don't. I don't care if that person knows a lot about what I want to know about. Even in business, I don't receive ungodly wisdom. Because the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in that counsel. I got a brain. God can help me to understand something, what to do, when to do, and where to do it. I want to be empowered to prosper. How many of y'all want to be empowered to prosper? Well, the best thing to do, he says, here it is. I mean, just so simple. So you never ask amiss. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Do you know a lot of Pentecost stood in the way of sinners, and a lot of them didn't get saved? Because they were trying to clean the fish before they caught it. That's standing in the way of a sinner. You know, you got to quit that drinking. You got to quit them smoking cigarettes and all that kind of stuff. Hey, man, catch the fish before you try to clean it. Tell him about Jesus, or her about Jesus. Let them come to the knowledge of Christ. And I guarantee the Holy Spirit is going to come in there and start dealing with them right away. But you see, that's standing in the way of a sinner. Flat stand right in the way of a sinner. And you're trying to get him to come. He already knows what not to do. He doesn't know what to do. So I made up my mind not to receive ungodly wisdom. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now watch this. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Oh, I've seen a lot of scornful preachers. Mine, and a lot of scornful ministry, not walking in overflow because they're mad at us. I'll tell you what, they just give to themselves. What's wrong with that? I know good seed when I see it. I see Creflo Dollar. I know that's good seed. He knows I'm good seed. I know Brother Copeland says Copeland and Brother Jerry with good seed. What's wrong with that? I mean, have you ever thought maybe God told us to? And then I give the others. I mean, Lord, gee, I don't know how many people we support. There's a bunch of them. But I do it as unto the Lord. Because, you know, it's all his to start with. So that I don't miss God or ask wrong or get greedy or being worried about being lustful, I look at Psalms 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, but sitteth in the seat, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight. Now you gotta meditate on that word delight. Do you delight in the law of God? Do you delight in that? Do you go, oh, I just can't wait till Sunday so I can just get in the presence of God. Pastor, could you just start 5 minutes early? Now that's delight. But his delight is in the law of the Lord or in the word of God. And in that word of Lord, doth he meditate day and night. Now, how can you meditate day and night? Because you love something. Oh, man, when you love something, you delight in something, you want to be around something. You see, Eddie, my son-in-law, was dating my daughter, Jody. Lord, Jesus, I'd wake up in the morning, he was there. I'd go to bed, he was there. I thought, my God, does he have a house? So one time I called him, I said, Ed, let me give you a great scripture from God. Withdraw your foot from your neighbor's house, lest he weary with you. I told him that. I said, he said, did I do something wrong, Mr. Ed? No, he ain't done that wrong yet. Just go home. Oh, whatever. I just like being around Joe. I said, I understand. I said, just go. I get up, I see you. I go to bed, I see you. Oh, you don't like? Oh, I like it. That's not it. Just go home. So he went home for about 2 minutes and came back. Now, why? He delighted in Jody.
He just delighted in Jody. And Jody delighted in him. I just sit there and go, wow, look at this. This is great. And I'm trying to run it off, you know. And I knew he was the young man for my daughter, but I just wasn't thinking in that manner. I thought, well, how is he going to take care of her? He said, the same way you took care of Kathy, the way the Lord told me. He said, who do you think you are? You think you better than that boy? Yeah. I ain't lying to God. Yeah. He said, well, you're not. He said, you know, when you started out. Yeah. He said, he's got his feet on the ground way more than you did when you took Kathy away. Yeah, both of us didn't have a lick of sense. She was 17, I was 20. We just took off to Dallas. Glory to God. Gave her some money to go buy some groceries. She came back with a mop and a broom. I said, Kathy, we can't eat that. She said, I don't know how to cook. That's what she said. She said, I can make weenie spaghetti. I said, what? She said, I can make weenie spaghetti. I said, weenie spaghetti? Yeah, she said, spaghetti, weenies. I said, you mean wieners? That's what I said, weenie spaghetti. I said, that's great. Are they beef weenies or are they chicken weenies? Weenie spaghetti. I said, is there anything else? No. She said, but there's the Burger King across the street. That's where we ate the first 3 months of our life. Burger King, and then we had dinner, weenie spaghetti. I'm not kidding. But you know what? We delighted in each other so much. She just couldn't wait till I come home. And you know, she had cooked that weenie spaghetti every week for 3 months. And she'd come home and say, guess what I got for dinner? I go, I don't know. Let me get weenie spaghetti. I ate it with a good heart, too, boy. That's when I could eat pasta. I had a body in them days. You should have seen me. I'd have married myself. But see, this body now has overflow on it. I'm preaching on overflow. Gift of God's abundance. Glory to God. But when I married her, you couldn't have grabbed my skin. Lord Jesus. She put my picture up. In my workout room, I mean, I am built, boy. I got a six pack. I mean, cut. Then they got a picture of me now, and she puts before and after. That's what that weenie spaghetti did. Weenie spaghetti. Glory to God. Let's keep reading. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, a word doth he meditate day and night. And he shall, did he say he might? He said he shall. He shall be. Now see, if you follow this, you'll never ask amiss. You'll never consume things upon your own lust because you're delighting in God. God's first and all you're doing is word. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That means you'll be a refreshing. When people get around you, they just go, oh man, it's just something about that person. Just, that's wonderful. Watch that. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. That means you're going to have something to be a blessing with to someone else. His leaf also shall not wither. Whoa, that's good. That means, and I have to give a compliment, give honor where honor's due. Brother Copeland, Sister Copeland looked like $1 million. I, other than Creflo, before I was the youngest one on this team before Creflo came. I got people come up to me and say, how much older you are than Brother Copeland? And I say a couple of years. Well, you look a lot more. I said, well, thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I mean, they look like $1 million. I mean, it's just amazing. It's just truly amazing. Why? The leaf doesn't wither. That doesn't mean the devil might not attack. May attack. That's not the issue. But the leaf doesn't wither. And whatsoever they doeth shall prosper. Now, you see, if you keep Psalms 1, 2, 3, you ain't got to worry about James 4. God will give you abundance of overflow beyond your wildest dreams because he trusts you. He wants you to have freedom spiritually, physically, financially. He wants you to just ask of him, and because it's so simple, he wants you to ask not carefully but prayerfully so that the promise of peace will come into life that passeth all understanding. So to tell you the truth, that doesn't mean trouble don't come. But when you know that no weapon formed, not believe, when you know that no weapon formed against you, gonna prosper. Now, sometimes you think it prospered, but it ain't over. It ain't like Yogi Berra said, it ain't over till it's over. There were sometimes I thought it was over, but it wasn't over. I thought, well, I lost that, you know, and found out I didn't lose it. In actuality, one time I wanted to purchase a home. Kathy didn't feel like, but I wanted that house. So I was in disobedience to my wife. We were not in one mind, one accord. And so naturally, she was right. I was wrong. She said, why don't you pray about that? I said, but a friend of mine, I said, I want that house. And sure enough, if I'd have bought that house, I'd have been the biggest mistake of my life. You know what I'm talking about. And so we wound up building a house. I mean, and got way more square footage. Got a much better home. Not that the house was bad, but I'm just saying is I was not listening to the Lord because I didn't want to go through all that building house stuff. And she said, Jesse, I'll make all the decisions. I mean, I had a guy say, what kind of doorknob do you want? I said, put whatever thing on the door. I don't make no difference to me. Just put so I can open it up. I don't want to be scratching my fingernails trying to open the door. Just put a knob on it. Kathy said, don't ask him nothing. Ask me, I'll pick the doorknobs. And she picked all the doorknobs and all that kind of stuff, you know. But if I'd have bought that house, one that I was looking at, I'd have missed God. It wasn't as big as the one we built. But it's not. I just thought, well, you know, it's a lot less hassle. I can just get this and go. You know why? I was satisfied with second best. But the Lord, through my wife, helped me not to become like that. See, God was teaching us overflow and understanding because God's gifts are of abundance are beyond what you can possibly ask or think. I'll be dealing with that in some other sessions. I just want to kind of teach this and pull this down when you see this. So this is how I live my life. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I've had a lot of people say, but Jesse, why don't you go talk to a man about that? I said, is he saved? Does he know the Lord? He's got God in his heart? No, I don't care what he knows. I'm not messing with it. Now, some people don't agree with that. That's okay. You know what? But, you know, I built my buildings debt-free and under budget by working with Psalms chapter. I refused. I would point blank. I said, you know, you got to do this. I said, let me ask you a question. He said, I've been doing this 40 years. I said, are you saved? He said, saved from what? I said, you're not. I said, I ain't going to do any of that. I don't receive counsel from the ungodly. Now, I didn't tell him that because he would misunderstand that. I just walk off. I said, thank you very much. And I just walk off. I said, we're not doing that. I'd go to Kathy. I said, hey, Kathy, what do you think about this? This is what we ought to do, Jesse. I said, tell the contract. Do hearken unto my wife. Whatever she tell you to do, do it. Oh, we can't do that. But Kathy never left. She said, oh, no. Yes, we can. She never would take no for it. No, we can do that. We can do that. Well, and they give you all the credentials, but you can understand. I've been doing this for 30 years. And it's her and the architect. I used to love to just sit back and watch them. He said, but the building's crying out for it, Kathy. She said, let it cry. She said, this is what I want. This is how, what you're going to do. Is it legal? Is it within code? Yeah, this is what we want. Yeah, but you say, no, this ain't your house. This ain't your place. This is what we want. Do this. You want this money? Do this. That's how I do business now, especially when you're debt-free. Lord Jesus. Then after you're debt-free, start believing God that whatever amount of money you was in debt-free, that you'll have that in liquid cash in a bank somewhere to do whatever you need to do for your family, friends, church, whatever you want to do. Why don't you start believing for that? Get a point of contact. Find out how much debt you paid off. Don't write it down after you. And then say, now, Lord, I expect that the debt that I was in, I expect that in finances to do whatever. Get to a point. Now, if some of you don't know much about business, you know, if you go over $100,000 in some bank account, then the FDIC won't cover. Why don't you believe God to exhaust every bank in your area that you got to go out of town to another bank? If you want to just keep liquid, I would advise to do all your assets in liquid, but I'm saying do some other things. But I'm just saying, and go to another town and start filling up them banks. Oh, we can't do that. That's your problem. The cans will never get to where the cans are. Why? Because you stop yourself. You know why you can't lose weight? Because you say you can. But the minute you make your mind up about something, it's amazing. That doesn't mean it's not easy, but after a while it does get a little easy because a different mindset takes over. How many of y'all want some overflow? Now, you see, I'm an investor. I've invested in several things in my life. And a lot of people ask me about that. I don't tell them much because, you know, if they lose on something, they want to get mad at me. Hey, you know, you ask me, whatever, you know, that kind of stuff. If I purchase them, sometime a guy who knows me will come up and say, is the Lord telling you that's going up? I said, no. And I said, no, you know, people always, you know, I said, but you know, you do what the Lord tells you to do. You know, and I'll give you some of my things that I do, but you have to be fully persuaded in your own mind. But I made up my mind that I'm going to accept the whole earth. And so will my seed. So I can complete my destiny and reach my destination. That if Jesus tarries, I'm not trying to leave a legacy. Because the legacy is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You understand? It's already here. But I'm going to work within that frame, that in that mind frame. I owe that to the Lord to not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. And I do that daily. Transforming myself. Transforming myself. Transforming myself. Today I prayed in the Holy Ghost for quite a while. Don't have a foggiest idea what I said. Holy Ghost wanted to pray through me. And I just sat there and let my vessel be a willing vessel, an obedient vessel, and he prayed. Finally, when it finished, I said, thank you, Holy Spirit. Could you give me an insight of what's going on here? And he began to show me something in my spirit. I went, my God. I said, I could sense that, but I didn't know for sure. He said, well, the reason why, you didn't ask. He said, Jesse, I'll give you secrets. I'll tell you things you never thought possible. He said, I'm telling you, and actually they're very simple. He told us to do some things. I'll close with it. When in the building of our, I didn't want any center posts in that church. Well, that's a long span cutting across without a center post. You know, you got to have, and so the architects, they made a mistake. So they came up to us. Well, I happened to walk out there when they built. They said, Reverend DePlantis, we got a problem. I said, what's the problem? He says, we're going to have to put a center post. I said, no, I don't want no center post. That's going to block that pulpit when pastor preaches things that nature. Some people are going to be doing this. Yeah, I said, but you said you could build this length of span. He said, I know that, but you know, what works in theory doesn't work in fact. I said, I believe the Lord told you that because that's what we wanted. He said, well, I'm going to tell you something. He said, we can't do that. Now, there's a bunch of people. There was the contractor. There was the architect. Now, watch this. You don't talk about overflow? Contractor, architect. There was a plumber. Some sheetrock guys, the drywall guys, you know, and all kinds of different things. So I'm standing there, and the Lord said, ask me. I said, everybody grab somebody's hand. They went, what? I said, grab everybody's hand. I said, we're going to pray right now. We're going to ask the Lord what to do concerning this situation, and God's going to speak to somebody in this circle. This one poor boy is the drywall. He goes, let me put my cigarette down here, bro. He come back. He said, I ain't never done this in my life. Lord. So by that, let me be in the prayer circle. because they know me. You know, they knew me as they call me the preacher. The preacher there, you know. So I stopped praying. Now, I didn't pray softly. I said, Jesus. And you could feel the whole shaking going around. Some of these guys lost us a goose in the fog. They don't want no God and a man and the moon. You know, they're working for some, you know, what they call that, the contractor, differently, subcontractor. So I'm praying. There must have been 12 of them. But I'm holding the contractor's hand. He's a great man of my God. Ray was just blessed. I said, Jesus, Lord, I don't want a center post. You don't want a center post. And now they say we got to have a center post. But whose report shall we believe? We're going to believe yours. I don't want nothing to obstruct that pulpit because that's where the bread of life is broke. Now, Father, speak to us what to do right now in Jesus' name. Amen. I said, now, what'd he say? Boy, they all look at me. You can feel the line shaking. We say it. I said, God just spoke to somebody. What did he say? I look at Ray and said, I ain't heard nothing, Jesse. I look at the architect, and he's the smart guy. I ain't heard nothing. The plumber said, all I know about is toilets. I said, God just spoke to somebody. I said, they thought God was going to speak to me. I wouldn't have mind, but he didn't. But he did ask me, told me to ask. I said, who, God just spoke to somebody. I said, who is it? That makes people nervous, you know, they're going, especially if you're paying their check. You know what I mean? I'm making that check good. I'm finally, the guy with the seat, he go. Just like that. I said, what the Lord say? He said, oh, I don't know the Lord. I said, what did the Lord say? He said, this is what we ought to do. This. He don't even get involved in this stuff. He works drywall, you know, sheetrock. The architect goes, hits his head just like that. The contractor goes, ow! He said, that's right. That's how we don't have to have it. It's a center pole. How did you know that? No more goes. He said, the Lord said. You say what you want. Now you can laugh at that. But if you walk into our church and Brother Copeland preaches dedicated, there ain't a center post. And if you go to one side of that church, that is a long span, buddy. In fact, it was the longest span that contractor and architect had ever built in their whole career. I said, what did the Lord sound like? He said, I was nervous. He said, you know, I had my eyes open. Everybody else had their eyes closed. I said, why'd you have your eyes open? He said, I was scared. I better run. I don't know what to do. He said, but I sent. He said, I got an idea in my head. I said, just think if you were saved. Boy, tears coming. He goes, I said, you want to meet Jesus now? Yeah. I led that boy to the Lord right there. Right on the slab. In that church. I mean, you know, it was just all tore apart. You know what I mean? And you know, he still faithfully goes to church. Yeah. Yeah. But you see, when God said he's going to speak, he that hath an ear, let him hear what I'm saying. But see, that boy had been around there a bunch of times. And you know, he'd come up to me. You know what he did? We have a bronze of Jesus. And Crepple likes that big bronze. It's about a 7 or 8 foot bronze of Jesus called the Fisher of Men. Holding, it's right in the middle of the executive office of the courtyard. It's gorgeous, called the Fisher of Men. This is a Hispanic. I don't like to call him Hispanic. I don't like that word because they got panic in there. So I don't like that. I call people Latino. You know what I'm saying? They ain't got no panic in that kind of stuff. Now, he didn't know, but I could see the Spirit of God begin to deal with him. He'd come over to that statue of Jesus, put a dollar on it. And then I realized he's Catholic. I'm not being critical of that. But see, that's the only way he knows. That's all he knew. So I said, you like that statue of Jesus? Oh, yes, sir, I like that. He said, I'm Catholic. I said, you're Catholic? Yes, sir. He said, well, this is amazing, you know. But I could see the Spirit of God drawing him. So I began to ask the Lord for everyone that would come on there, the subcontractors. Because I didn't hire any unsaved people. I hired all the people that I was dealing with were all saved. All the counsel I was getting was all saved. But, you know, you got subcontractors. You don't have plumbers that hire other people, you know, whoever they have. I said, Lord, that they come and be touched and ministered to and blessed. And I'll tell you one more story. I got to, Lord, I got overflow. Watch God overflow. Sitting in my office. The Lord said, go to the bank and get six $50 bills. I heard it. I said, what for? He said, go out to the site. I'll tell you when you get there. So I buzzed Kathy. I said, Kathy, I'm going to the bank. I'm going to get $300. I'm going to get six $50 bills. What for? I said, I don't know. I'm just going to the site with it. She said, you coming back? I said, yeah, I'll be back after a while. So I drove out to the site. And as I was driving, the Lord said, look at all those men pouring concrete over there. Boy, it was hot that day in Louisiana, you know. There's 100% humidity and 98 degrees. I mean, you just drown breathing, you know. I mean, it's just humidity. He says, I want you to get out this truck, out this car, walk over there and walk off into that concrete. He said, I want you to give every one of those men that's doing that concrete $50 and telling them I'm buying them dinner. I said, fine with me. Thank God I had some old busted up tennis shoes on that day. You know? So, boy, I come up, and when I come, they call me the owner. They come the owner. That's the owner. That's the owner. You know. Now, I mean, these men working, boy. I mean, pulling that concrete. For, man, that's a big slab out there, you know, pulling that concrete. So I come walking up there, you know, and raise my car. I said, hey, Brother Jesse, how you doing? I said, I'm doing fine. I said, hey, guys. And I went, pull. Now, I got concrete up the hill. They go, oh, man, what are you doing? I didn't even pay attention to it. I said, the Lord sent me here. Man, these guys are sweating, man. I mean, I said, the Lord told me to give you all each $50. They just went, what? I said, the Lord said he wanted to buy you dinner. Maybe you can take your wife out or girlfriend, whoever. And the Lord just sent me over there to tell you that he wanted to buy you dinner. You're doing a good job on his slab. I said, give me one of them shows. I'll help you all. Come on. Oh, no, I said, nah, I'm already in it. Come on. So, man, I helped them. I didn't know what I was doing. They wanted me to get out there because I was messing it up what I was doing, you know. But I was trying to be helpful. They start crying. You know what those men said? To my face. We've been doing this for years. Nobody ever treated us like human beings. You know, we're the scum of a place. You know, we're the diggers, what they call them. You know, they dig the foundations, pour the slab. Ain't nobody ever treat us like men. That's exactly what they said. As a black man said, can I come to your church? I said, yes, you can. I said, you let me know. I said, I'll put you on the front seat. I'll get you a good seat. You serious? Yeah, I'm serious. Tears going down. Watch this. I said, now y'all go out and have a good dinner. Thank you, Reverend. I said, I didn't do this. I just obeyed it. The Lord did this. I mean, it just shook them up. That went all over in that contracting area in New Orleans. You hear what this preacher did? Lord sent him down and gave them money to those guys. They couldn't get over that. Do you know 3 months later, we poured the last slab. We found out we had to pour another little slab for a parking lot behind the thing, which was $14,000. Watch overflow. So I found out. I said, you know, we didn't know that. I said, why don't you go ahead and call those guys back and tell them, you know, they did such a good job, and go ahead and give them that job. They can pour that. And we found out it cost $14,000. I said, fine. So I flew away, came back the next day, and they were pouring that. They just, what they call trialing it, whatever they call it, you know, making it smooth and stuff. So I come walking out there, and I see them. I say, hey, guys, how you doing? Hey, you doing, brother? You know, all this kind of stuff. And they're all smiling, man. And I'm thinking, what the hell? I said, what is this? What's going on here, you know? And I said, listen, I said, I'm going to the office there. And I said, if you give me your bill, I said, I'll talk to my finance director, and I'll cut you your check. I think it's $14,000. I said, I'll bring you your check back. I'll get it in the next 5 minutes or so. And they all went, no. This is for free, Reverend. You treated us like men. We want to do this for God. Gave it to them. Oh, blessing of the Lord. So that slab, that part of it, and they were so proud. And the Lord bought us dinner. They said, we'll never forget it. They start tears now. Maybe it touch your heart. Well, see, that was overflow to me. I couldn't contain. I had tears in my eyes. And I'm going to tell you something. Hard for Jesse Duplantis to cry. Raise the way out. Oh, no, we don't do that. I mean, a truck run over your legs. Does it hurt? Smarts a little. But I mean, I couldn't connect. I had to go back. And the Lord said, don't be ashamed of them tears. John Hagin the other day, I said, yeah, I get these time warps. Did something to me no man has ever done in my life. Even my own father. I shake my father's hand. You know, we're hugging. You know, men, now the girls do that, but not the men. Well, John Hagin became, I did one of them Caribbean cruises with. He said, you did such a wonderful job, Jesse. I said, well, thank you, John. What a blessing. So he's coming closer to me. He said, I just love you and the Lord bless you. So, I mean, I have people hug me, you know. Copeland's hug me. Recover. John hugged me and kissed me. I went, ooh. I ain't never had a man kiss me before in my life. But I noticed he had kissed his son and he kissed his daughter. He said, I love you, John. I went, oh. Oh, Jesus. Lord. It broke something in me. I never had that happen before in my life. He said, you look surprised. I said, I am. He said, he said, that's what we do in our family. I hope that wasn't offensive. I said, oh, no. I said, the only kiss I've heard of a man is the kiss of death. You know, you make them an offer, they don't refuse. You understand? That kind of stuff. It broke something in me. It literally, that needed to be broken, that had been there for years. So a lot of time when I see him, I say, you ain't emotional today, are you? Give him a hard time, you know. But it helped me. I didn't let that out. I couldn't do that. You're a man. You do what you got to do. Men don't cry. My Lord, you know. But it helped me. But I'll be honest, I said, what'd you feel like? I said, is that what women feel, that beard? Nah. I said, exactly what I thought. I didn't tell him that. I said, Lord, John, you need to go shave, John, but you need to do something. But it's toward the end of the night. Oh, wonder what you ladies feel when you kiss your husband, got that mustache. Just they cut it across there, I guess. I don't know. But it helped me greatly. It helped me. And at one of his meetings, I was standing by him. And he knows I'm not like that, you know. And the Lord said, kiss him. Jesus. Kiss him. Yeah, he said, greet the brethren with a holy kiss. Oh, Jesus. What's the word say? Greet the brethren. Oh, Jesus. I said, John, you a blessing. I went back to my room. I said, I can't believe I did it. I did it. Well, I'm getting better. Not at kissing men. Let me change that. I'm getting better. I got you. Because there ain't no telling who'll be at my next meeting. Oh, Jesus. No, we're not talking about that. No. I had to lighten this up a little bit. Let me lighten this up here. No. But I'll tell you this much, I'm not against you. I'm not against people. I'm against the devil. I want overflow flowing everywhere. Did you enjoy it tonight? Give Jesus a hand clap for that. Hallelujah.